This is a reading from Tiffany Johnson's novel entitled Me. You can find more about this book on tiffanyjohnson.com, amazon.com, or through this blog, Stories That Matter. The house Clayton identified as the one Kate gave him was modest but large. Abrielle supposed it had to be large if the family could spend so much money on a piece of art. Cornflower blue siding with white-trimmed windows and white picket fence that surrounded the house seemed vaguely, strangely familiar to Abrielle. She pushed that thought aside, though, and scrutinized the home again. The lights in all the windows were on, and as Clayton took her hand to walk toward the door, Abrielle saw a petite woman with hair as coal black as Abrielle's standing at the edge of the window with a slender hand over her heart. Clayton and Abrielle pretended not to notice her or the look of surprise that came over her face. Clayton knocked once on the front door, and it was opened immediately by Ryan. Ryan was dressed nicely in a pair of mud-colored khakis and a matching sweater. But it was his face that caught and held Abrielle's attention. He instantly caught one of Clayton's hands in a firm shake, but his gaze remained riveted on Abrielle. "Hello, Ryan. It's nice to see you again," Clayton greeted, and Ryan finally drug his gaze from Abrielle to Clayton's face and nodded. "Yes, it's good to see you too." "You also, Abrielle. You are quite the artist." "Thank you," Abrielle replied, and her violet gaze remained lifted behind Ryan to see the petite, black-haired woman. Ryan immediately took control. "I'm sorry. Nicole," he said, holding out a hand toward the woman. She took his fingers, and as she shifted toward Abrielle and Clayton, everyone was taken aback by how much Abrielle resembled the woman in the pale green skirt and matching blouse. "Abrielle, this is my wife, Nicole. Nicole, the young artist, Abrielle, and her friend Clayton," Ryan introduced, and Nicole's small blue eyes held Abrielle's for what seemed to be an eternity before she finally smiled. "Come in. Please, come in. Everyone else is in the living room." By everyone, she means Mama, Rasta, and Shira, and a friend of ours, Patrick, Ryan explained, closing the front door. As they walked into the small living room, Clayton gently removed his hand from Abrielle's to place it on her shoulder. From the rigid way she was holding herself, he could tell she was nervous about this dinner. He very much wanted to put her at ease. Both men stood when they saw the group enter the living room, and both stared at Abrielle as though she were a ghost, though the younger man's expression was anything but welcoming. Kate, with Shira in her arms, stood too, and her face was smiling as though she believed she were in a dream. "Thank you for coming. Where's Mally?" Kate asked. "She went to a movie with Jacob and Anna," Abrielle explained, while Clayton held out a hand towards the older of the two men to whom they had not been introduced. "Clayton Cunningham," he greeted, and then smiled crookedly. "But please, it's just Clayton." Patrick chuckled as he nodded, shaking Clayton's hand. "Patrick Brokaw." "Just Patrick," he mimicked. Nicole and Abrielle couldn't stop staring as everyone chuckled in appreciative response. Clayton turned to shake the younger man's hand, but this man stood still for a moment before sighing heavily and reaching out his hand. "Roston Stone," he greeted. Having done that, Roston turned to greet Abrielle as well, but her eyes had caught sight of the drawings. All three were lying on the coffee table, and Abrielle couldn't take her eyes away from them. "Can I look at them?" she asked quietly, and Kate smiled, nodding. "Please," she invited, and waved a hand for everyone to sit. As Abrielle picked up one of the drawings and glanced at it, a wave of complete sadness came over her. These were no longer hers. She didn't realize that everyone was watching her until she felt Clayton put a large hand on the back of her head and run it down to her neck. Startled, she glanced up and smiled cautiously, laying the drawing back down. "I'm sorry. It's just that these are the first drawings I've ever sold," she said. Ryan leaned forward, crossing his arms over his legs. "They're very good." "Thank you." She glanced at Roston, whose deep violet depths were narrowed, almost as though he were suspicious of something, of her. She smiled nonetheless. "When we met your grandmother and your father," she said, "at the camp, they talked a lot about you." Roston arched his eyebrows. "Did they?" He was the only one that wasn't friendly or open. It took Abrielle by surprise, but she pretended she had not noticed his indifferent attitude. Yes, your grandmother said that you were married, I believe. Ryan Ralston merely inclined his head. After a moment of expectant silence, he continued, "Yeah, Kristen is on her way here from work. I can't wait to meet her," Abrielle said warmly. Ralston remained silent. Finally, a butterball of a woman in a black servant's apron appeared. "Dinner is ready," she announced, and just as everyone stood, they heard the door open and close again. Moments later, a tall, sandy, blonde-haired woman walked into the room, smiling. "Hi, everyone. Sorry I'm late," she said, and Ryan quickly introduced her as Kristen, Ralston's wife. As they walked to the dining table, which was smaller than Clayton's, but somehow just as impressive, Abrielle fell silent. The feeling that these people wanted to say something, but weren't, was overwhelming her. Clayton pulled her chair out for her, as he always did, and then took the seat to the left of Abrielle. Shira was sick with a cold, so she ended up sitting in Nicole's lap most of the meal, but she asked many questions about Anna and Jacob. Both Abrielle and Clayton were surprised at how much the young girl remembered about her newfound friends. Patrick finally turned the conversation away from the trivial and on to Abrielle. "If you don't mind my asking, Abrielle, how old are you?" His sea-green eyes were clear on her face. 18, Abrielle answered with a gentle smile. Patrick arched his brows, his gaze cutting to Nicole momentarily, before he nodded and glanced again at Abrielle. "You're very beautiful for an 18-year-old," he said, smiling broadly as a lock of peppered-colored hair fell onto his brow. Pushing it back, he glanced at Clayton. "How long have you two known each other?" Clayton swallowed a forkful of green beans before glancing at Abrielle's flushed and beautiful face. 2 months, I guess, although it seems like years. She is very easy to become attached to, I have to warn you," he teased, with a boyish smile. Patrick chuckled as he watched Abrielle's face redden slightly with another blush. Trying to get the conversation away from herself, Abrielle glanced at Nicole, who had been silent most of the meal. Instead of talking, it seemed all she could do was stare in amazement at Abrielle. Whereas Ralston's silence hinted at hostility, Nicole's reeked of shock. "I meant to tell you earlier what a beautiful outfit that is," she said, and Nicole blinked, smiling. "Thank you." "That is very kind," she said. She had been excessively accommodating and welcoming to Abrielle, but it was evident that she was also trying to get her own thoughts, whatever they might have been, under control. "Do you mind if I ask when you drew the pictures that Kate bought? I know it probably seems like we're overwhelming you with questions," she apologized, but Abrielle lifted her glass of tea for a drink, shaking her head. "No, that's okay. I drew those a few years ago. There are more in the series that I continue to draw. We would sincerely love to see them sometime," Ryan commented, and Abrielle bent her head forward as Shira sneezed. "That's you." "Mama," Shira said sheepishly, glancing up at her mother. "Abrielle tells really, really good stories." "I know, you've told me," Nicole promised. For days when they returned, all she talked about was your rendition of Rapunzel. Abrielle shrugged, pushing her plate to the side. "It was the original story," she promised, and Nicole smiled again. "I think you're probably being modest, or coy," Ralston said dryly, and all eyes looked in shock at him. "Ralston," Kate admonished, and he immediately held up a hand. "Sorry, I've not had a very good day," he apologized, but his eyes didn't meet Abrielle's. Abrielle was the first to smile her forgiveness. Clayton was the last to reluctantly offer his. The silence was finally broken by Ryan, who smiled tightly and turned the discussion to politics and business. Whenever a silence fell, Patrick used the time to ask Abrielle about questions about herself. Once everyone had finished eating and moved to the living room, Abrielle saw him glance at her for a long moment before switching his gaze elsewhere. Ralston's eyes would do the same, except instead of clinging to her face, his would fall to the drawings again, as though his mind agreed with the others, while his heart was skeptical. After almost an hour of talking, Shira started getting sleepy and asked Nicole if Abrielle could put her to bed. Nicole smiled and lifted her shoulders. "Sure. I think maybe you should ask her, though," Nicole said. But Abrielle was already nodding her head when Shira climbed down off her mother's lap. Shira took one of Abrielle's hands and tipped her head back to look at her. "Can you tell me a bedtime story?" she asked, and Abrielle nodded, smiling. "Sure. Which one would you like to hear?" "Rapunzel." The other adults watched as Abrielle and the little girl walked up the stairs toward Shira's room. Then Ryan glanced at Patrick, who inclined his head, and Clayton knew suddenly that the reason for Abrielle's uneasiness was about to be revealed. Ryan stood up and walked to the desk that sat against the corner of the room and opened up one of the drawers. He pulled out a large manila envelope and returned moments later. Holding the envelope with both hands, he looked directly at Clayton. None of us know exactly how to start this, but Ryan trailed and then looked at Patrick, who broke in. Clayton, Kate told me that when you met at the camp, she told you about the disappearance of her granddaughter, Hannah, correct? Clayton nodded and leaned forward to look first at Ryan and then at Patrick. Well, Patrick went on, I am the chief of police. I'm 54 years old. For the last 15 years of my life, I have been looking around the globe for that little girl. I want you to look at these, he said, and Ryan held out the manila envelope toward Clayton. Frowning, Clayton took the envelope and pulled the contents out. In his hand, he had a stack of probably 20 pictures. As he looked through them, he realized two things simultaneously. They were all of the same little girl, and that little girl looked eerily like those child in Abrielle's drawings. Clayton's frown deepened as he examined each of the pictures and then leaned over to pick up one of the drawings to compare. Now, Clayton, I memorized each one of these pictures a very long time ago, and I have compared them to a lot of other pictures of a lot of other children. Nothing is as close to Hannah's photograph as are the drawings. And you know what else? In the last 15 years, I haven't seen anyone who resembles Nicole, both in mannerisms and in sheer appearance, than Abigail does. Clayton's gray eyes lifted Patrick's face, and he shook his head. They're drawings. Admittedly, they look an awful lot like the pictures, but still, who are Abriel's parents? Nicole and Ryan, Kate said, her voice adamant. Nicole's blue eyes filled with tears. When I saw Abrielle walk in that door, you don't know how many times I have dreamed of Hannah coming home again. We don't know Abrielle is Hannah. All you have is a strong resemblance. Many people resemble each other, Clayton said. Ralston exhaled harshly, standing and walking over to the fireplace. Placing one arm on the mantel, he turned and stared at Clayton. Look, Clayton, to tell you the truth, I think our lives would be a lot more peaceful if we could prove that Abrielle is not Hannah. I think we would all do well to let sleeping dogs lie. We've been fine the last 15 years without her, and finding her now would just put us all through more hell. There is no way you can look at those drawings and her picture and the resemblance between Mom and her and tell me that that's not Hannah. Clayton's eyes drifted back down to the drawings and then to one of the pictures. Kate's description of her granddaughter's disappearance rang through Clayton's memory, followed by the description of a recurring dream Abrielle told him she had. It was of a birthday party when Hannah was 3 years old. Ralston had been cleaning the picnic tables from the party when he glanced up, she was gone. She'd been wearing a brown cowboy costume with a hat. The events and the dream were eerily alike. Clayton frowned, indecision in his eyes. He didn't want to add pain to Abrielle's life unless he was sure it would end in joy, and with proof as flimsy as a dream and a drawing. Here, look at this, Kate said suddenly, and took the stack of pictures from his hands. Flipping through them until she found the one she wanted, she appeared almost panicked to prove her point. She then shifted through the drawings until she found the one of the girl in the dress and held both the drawing and the picture she wanted out toward him, her eyes urgent. Look at that. Look at the dress. It's the same dress. She drew one of the dresses she actually wore as a little girl. Clayton's heart stopped when he saw the dress. In Hannah's picture, the dress was light wildflower purple with ruffles around the neck and the cuffs. It came to her knees and had tiny round yellow daisies embroidered all over the dress. The dress in Abrielle's drawing was in black and white, but in every other detail, it was the same. The length, the daisies, everything but the color was identical. I'm going to tell Abrielle. She needs to come home, Kate said, and Patrick nodded. Yes, she does, and I'm going to have to do some serious talking to her parents. If Abrielle is honestly not Hannah, then she knew Hannah at some point in her life. She had to have, in order to draw those pictures. She may still know her. No, Clayton said adamantly. laying the pictures down on the table. Abrielle is going through some really tough issues right now. Her mother is in the hospital. No, she's not, Ryan insisted. Clayton exhaled. The woman she knows and loves as her mother is in the hospital, he corrected, and Nicole's eyes squeezed shut as a tear fell onto her cheek. And there are other things, too, that are happening right now. She has to be told, Roston said hesitantly, and Clayton nodded. I know that I want to do it, and I want to do it alone and not here. I don't want her to be overwhelmed. She doesn't know you people. Nicole's hand clenched into a fist, and Kate's lips pursed together. But Clayton staunchly continued, and if you tell her that you are her parents and that Stephen and May kidnapped her, she is going to fall apart, and then she will ignore you. She'll at least listen to me. Silence for what felt like forever before Kate swallowed past a lump in her throat and her chin lifted in the air as her breathing grew rapid again. I love my grandchildren. Hannah and Roston and Shira are the light of our world. We have all suffered greatly because of Hannah's disappearance. Roston lost a great deal of his youth because of it. Hannah surely lost all of hers. Nicole has spent every day of the past 15 years worrying about Hannah and the truth. Ryan has changed. We all have. But we still love her. We love her very much, and we want her to know that. We want her home. We want this nightmare to finally end. And we want justice served onto the people who robbed us of our little girl, Ryan said, frowning. Clayton leaned back and lifted a hand in the air. I'll tell her, but I can promise you she is not going to jump up and down at the idea of leaving her parents or of turning them in. They are not her parents, Rawson said, his jaw set. Well, they are to her, Clayton returned. Before anyone could break the silence, Abrielle entered the room with a bright smile. Shiv is asleep now, she said. Ryan tried to smile back at her. Thank you, Abrielle. I think we should probably be headed out, but thank you for the dinner, Clayton said, taking Abrielle's hand in his as he stood. Roston inclined his head, and everyone walked the two of them to the door. Abrielle thanked Kate for buying the pictures, and Nicole hugged her warmly before they all watched Clayton and Abrielle walk out the car. Neither Clayton nor Abrielle saw the fresh tears that entered Nicole's eyes or the mistiness that came to Ryan's.